Hey guys, this is Danny Herbeck with the Muskie 360 Canada edition. Once again, I finally tracked down Joe. Joe, what's going on?
Man, I've been busy. Been busy out there freezing. It's been like crazy. I don't know what temps we had this last weekend. I was out on the sled and it was brutal, but no, that's what's been going on. Been out on the lake just like, in the summer, except for it's a little more harsh.
It's been, to say the least, I mean, it's been pretty miserable all over the Midwest and even down south there, but it's been pretty bitter cold up here. It's been a lot of inside pup days, if you want to call it that, for me. I've been doing a lot of pondering my life and life choices and what to do next and how to do that. And
man,
it looks like the weather's gonna break here.
I'm glad I haven't had time to do that myself, because I'd probably start spinning out pretty bad.
Yeah, no, it's but it's that time of year where, I mean, I know it is the off season, and it's hard to think muskie season, not till June, but guys got to start thinking about it now and kind of start, preparing about it. This is when all the, the new baits get launched and, a lot of the new stuff becomes available that a guy needs to kind of capitalize on. And, especially, start kind of making your plans for the summer, because, things do fill up fast and book up fast. And so if a guy wants to get, now is the time of year to kind of be proactive and make sure you got all your ducks in a row when you do have time, right?
Yeah, time flies by. All of a sudden, it's the musky opener, and all my rods are still in the storage unit, and I'm,
Yeah, no, I've been, all my stuff is still securely in the same pile it was in since the middle of November. It needs a little bit of love, but that's where we're at this point. But, no, I just kind of wanted to get together with you here and have a little chat. I know it's been quite a while since we talked, and especially talked about muskies, but just to get everybody in the mind frame of, musky fishing, summer fishing, kind of maybe what to prepare yourself for next summer when you, if you are coming to Canada, and, kind of some things to expect, and like I was talking to you earlier before we started recording here, some of the trends that we're kind of seeing, that are making us more productive on the water, not necessarily bait wise, but just, what the fish are doing differently year to year. Because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, you see it, I see it. We're on the water every day. The world's changing, no matter how we want to put it, whether it be, more severe fronts causing these fish to act a little differently, or, later springs typically now, cooler water, higher water, lower water. There's just all these factors that are playing roles in what these fish are doing, and ultimately how they set up for the whole year, that a guy's got to pay attention to now that necessarily, 8-10 years ago weren't necessarily as much of a factor as they are now. Would you disagree on that?
No, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, that's, it, like, yeah, no, I guess I don't know. Say that again. Do I disagree on that? Or do I agree on that?
Or disagree? Do you agree or disagree, Joe? I'll make it for a one-word answer for you.
Yeah, I think I agree on what you said there. I think I did. I think,
yeah,
I agree.
No. I was talking too fast for you, Joe. Do I need to slow down?
you lost me a little bit. But no, I got it. I got it.
No, for instance, like I've noticed, just on like, I'll break down first and I'll talk about like, bait wise, like, so, like this year and last year, I noticed a trend. I'm just going to use bucktails for an example to start. I noticed a trend last year. I started catching, and the year before, catching a lot more fish on single bucktails versus double bucktails. Now, not to say that you can't catch fish on singles, but I mean on doubles, but I just feel like, you know, a lot of these fish are seeing those big doubles, and you know, switching to singles was definitely something on my water that put a lot more fish in the boat for me. I had a lot more action on singles and big singles, you know, single 10, single 13 type stuff, seemed to really get the fish going. I mean, let's face it here now, like the amount of musky pressure is increasing, and it's not just pressure, it's smart pressure now, right? Like everybody's got forward facing sonar, everybody's got all the mapping, everybody's got all the waypoints. So these fish are seeing a lot more baits now than what they ever used to see. So a guy's really got to start, you know, kind of going down the rabbit holes a little bit more, in my opinion, to get more than just your average bite. You know, to stay ahead of the game, the guy's got to start, you know, thinking outside the box a little bit.
And especially putting clients on fish, you know, you got to really, it's, you know, when you're fishing fish that are seeing a lot of pressure, it's like, that's where your level of experience really comes into play, which, you know, the majority of the clients that we're fishing with, you know, just don't, there's a reason they're hiring us to take them out, you know? So, it's definitely, the small details that make a big difference, when it comes to pressured fish. And, you know, if there's one thing I've learned, it's that I think that for a long time, I wasn't giving the fish enough credit. I think, you know, they're obviously not sophisticated, intelligent, but they're not stupid. They live in the environment for a long time and, you know, they figure things out. So I feel like I can see when fish pull up behind a double-bladed bucktail that is just going the normal speed or whatever, and they get right behind it, and it's, you can almost see them be like, no, nope, I've been through this before, and they just peel off, and that's that. Like, so that's where, you know, being able to have that split-second reaction and is what makes the difference when you're throwing a bait that everybody else is throwing. And then, of course, you know, if you can figure out something that turns them on, like what has always worked best does, but is just a little bit different, you know, it's all those little maneuvers that, you know, like the dead rise on my crankbaits and stuff is, the majority of guys I fish with are like, yeah, I've never even thought of doing that, you know? And it's like that sort of thing that gets fish to bite. And, you know, the amount of pressure is crazy. You know, that's like, one thing that everybody seems to be talking about recently here is this, PMTT championship that is supposed to be at the Northwest Angle this year. And I've heard a lot of guys, well, geez, more pressure that the lake doesn't need or whatever. Like, no, it's going to be the same pressure. That's the thing, is like, there's only so many people that can stay at the angle or stay in an area like this, you know? And, you know, the pressure is always there. It's so it'll be an interesting thing, but anyways, yeah, the amount of pressure the fish are seeing increases every year. And, being on top of little tweaks with your baits and stuff like that is so key.
Yeah. And, I mean, like you said, just too, like, it's pretty wild how these fish, you know, you can see it time and time again that they get into the boat and it's like the moment of do or die, and they just kind of peel out. And it's because, you know, they saw that move. They seen that, you know, typical straight up maneuver like that at the boat. And, you know, you kind of brushed on it real, real quickly there. It was, you know, being, you know, really up to snuff and really paying attention at the boat, especially on, you know, your bucktail, your straight retrieve type stuff. It would definitely be, you know, for a guy that, you know, is looking for a trip and coming up for a week on musky fishing that isn't necessarily real accomplished, at your boat type stuff is to, go online, watch some videos, mentally, prepare yourself how to do it. And I mean, obviously it's hard to do that until you actually have the rod in your hands. But the boat side maneuvers, especially, your figure eights and, just the little nuances like that on to get these fish to bite. I catch more fish at the boat now, more so than ever, because these fish are seeing all these baits, and you need to actually do something different than what everybody else does at the boat to get them to bite. So, something as simple, instead of, coming into the boat and just gradually going into a figure eight, sweeping your rod left and right, 10 feet out, getting that bait to change, a slight direction before you come into your figure eight. And, a lot of guys are eight guys. Instead of doing figure eight, do ovals. Just stuff like that. And then, incorporating speed changes and depth changes at the side of the boat. Those are all, little triggering aspects that put a lot more fish in the boat that, your overall general angler doesn't really realize and doesn't see till you actually teach them it, and then it comes full circle and they catch a fish doing it. When if you were just to bring the boat in, do a figure eight and continue on, that fish would just come in, look at your bait, and lazily swim off,
Yeah, it's definitely, and even for, experienced muskie anglers and unexperienced, like there's you can try and watch the videos and read the articles and everything, but I mean, going out with a guide is really the best way to learn it, and it's like the things that well, like going talking about like your level of experience. I mean, the thing with musky fishing that makes it hard is a lot of these things you almost have to see it happen once before you can fully understand what it is that we're trying to explain or something. And like the having to make a split de second decision, even when I see the fish coming and I try and explain it like as it's happening, it's still not fast enough. Like you need to have that quick reaction a lot of the times. And that's just like you got to get out there and just do it, I guess. I mean, but I don't even know what I'm trying to say right now. It's just like the staying on top of.
Every fish is a little different too. It's a little bit more situational. Do you speed it up? Do you slow it down? And a lot of that comes with reading the fish and, time on the water. And, ultimately, like you said, with a guide, our goal is to put you in front of more fish and speed that learning curve up. And then if you do make a mistake, kind of tell you, okay, well, this is what you could have did differently. Get that learning curve up to date a lot quicker than, if you're out on the water by yourself, you don't necessarily know if you did something wrong or if you did something right,
And I think one thing that really like determines how the fish are acting too is just the conditions that you have, like the seasonal conditions. And with every season being so different from the last, over the past, 5, 6, 8 years or whatever, like it's like you're gonna find different things each year you come up that. Like you have a cool cold water year or a hot water year, the fish act way differently. And so that's where, being on the water, not just for the past, years of experience, but like just being on the water in the recent days beforehand is really makes a huge difference. And staying on top of it, it just takes so much time to figure out how the fish are using the conditions that they're dealing with, and how they're reacting to it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Lake of the Woods is a little bit different animal than what I'm at, but I know like another Another thing that I've kind of seen, or maybe it's always been there, but I've really kind of keyed in onto it in the last couple years, is a lot of fish are kind of gravitating slightly deeper than most years. I mean, I'm not talking, crazy deep, but off that first break, I'm catching a lot of fish versus necessarily being right up on top of the structure. And maybe that, I think a lot of that too is, there's conditions that play a role into it too, but, going back to pressure, I think a lot of these fish, they get pulled off structure and they hang off that first break. And that's where I'm kind of, encountering a lot of fish. Not to say that some fish aren't coming off tops of structure, especially when you have a major or minor or the conditions are right. But during the deader parts of the day or the lull parts of the day, I'm catching a lot more fish coming off that first initial break, that 12 to 18, 20-foot zone versus that, 4 to 10-foot zone type of stuff. And that's one thing that I've really been keying in on the last couple of years especially is fishing that deeper edge and not so just fishing it but positioning my boat so I can effectively fish it. Staying out a little bit farther off the edge than what I typically used to. Weighting down, my baits a little bit more so I can fish those deeper edges effectively and ultimately fishing quite a bit more rubber too.
Yeah, that I've always
So
been a big on the crankbaits, and those are always the type of fish that I've felt like I've been trying to tap into with crankbaits is the fish that are just, off a little bit, maybe just deep enough to where something that's running in the top 5 feet of the water column, they're not engaging on the stuff that's up high like that. And that's another reason why I like taking your time with the bait as it is getting to the boat with a crankbait, is giving those fish that are farther down a chance to catch up with it, because you're just probably reaching down to them as you're getting your lure back to, before it starts coming right up towards the boat. So.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, there's multiple factors that could be, relating to this. But I mean, overall, I mean, I would say, as a whole, our water has stayed, a little bit cooler in the spring than it, normally does. I mean, like last year, it got really warm really quick, and then it cooled right back down, and it stayed cold for a long time before it, kind of popped back up. And the year before we had a really late spring, so the water was cooler. And I mean, those how the spring comes in sets up the whole rest of the year. It delays weed growth. The fish kind of, in my opinion, are in a little bit of a funk for the rest of the year. And I mean, I say it, we call it a funk because they're not where they typically historically should be or where we want them to be. But, like I said, you just got to kind of make those slight adjustments. And, once again, like I caught this last season was, I hate to say it, was probably my best season, one of the better seasons I've ever had as far as, numbers of fish, big fish, seeing big fish. So, and I mean, that's all contributed to kind of just, making those slight adjustments, right?
Yeah, and I think that we really haven't seen the water, at least on Lake of the Woods, we haven't seen the water temps get up to what I would consider like good midsummer water temps, like where you're starting to see maybe even a couple of those hot, calm days where you see where the water get up, in the high 70s and stuff. Like we haven't had that since probably 2021 or 2020, right around.
Exactly.
We had a couple low water years with a lot of hot days, and since then the water's kind of been what I would say cool, and muskies are a warm water fish, so when you have that's when you have the inconsistent patterns and having to do things a little bit differently than what you read about in a lot of the musky articles and books and stuff like that, because it's just not like they're really getting to what they prefer, so.
I mean, it's crazy how, I've been on Eagle Lake. That's, I've fished, all lakes all around here for muskies, but I mean, that's Eagle's where I live and, where I fish, and that's where a lot of my, knowledge comes from. And just seeing, how we used to fish these fish 10, 12, 15 years ago to how we fish these fish now. Not to say that you can't still fish them the same way and catch fish, because you can, but on how much more productive we can be with, just doing these subtle little changes. Like before, it was clip on a bucktail and just go to town, and now we just, we have a lot more bait options, a lot more, especially with. It's crazy how, electronics have changed the game too. But yeah, it's wild how we're so much more productive on the water now than we were before. Basically, in my opinion, doing roughly the same thing, but you're just so much more in tune with everything we have at our fingertips now. And that's one thing I can say is, use all that to your advantage. Like before, we had a 2D sonar and showed you right under the boat, and that's how you ran the boat. You didn't, like, when I started, we didn't even have mapping. You just ran it by memory. Now we have mapping, not only mapping, but really good mapping. And then you have side imaging, and then if you do have it, you have forward-facing sonar. So, I mean, use all of that to your advantage to be much more productive on the water. We have all these apps that tell us majors and minors and, all this when the fish are gonna be the most, active throughout the day. That's all stuff that I'm using on a daily basis to be way more productive than I ever used to be, because we never had it,
It's definitely always learning more each year for sure, and trying to stay ahead of it. But I mean, this last season, looking back on it, what would you say? I'm just trying to think here, like, what was most different about, or what was kind of the I don't know what even the word I'm looking for here. Like, what was the main story last year, as far as if you were to sum up, if you were to summarize last season's bites and stuff like that? I mean, for me, I think that compared to years before last year, I had more fish that were in, kind of those summer, midsummer positions than where they had been, like, I actually was getting more bucktail fish and more fish set up on summer spots than I had in the previous few years, which was nice. It was kind of like a little refreshing to be able to do that after, quite a few years of fishing weeds and deep and stuff like that. It was, but I don't know if Eagle was kind of similar, or.
Yeah, I mean, there was times where it was, we had a real short window, in that July phase when water did finally warm up enough and the weeds did get up, where there was like a 2, 3 week window there, where the fish were up shallow, buried in the weeds, and a guy could really go to town on topwaters and bucktails. But overall, I mean, as I would say, last year for me, I spent a lot more time on the main lake, fishing, your mid depth type structures. I did a lot of fishing humps, a lot of, out off the tips of, big main lake projections. And those, it was wild how at the beginning of season, where a lot of those fish, the big fish, were already out on that main lake stuff positioned, where you would see them, starting in August already. And I don't know if a lot of those bigger fish went in, did their stuff right away and came out, or just never went in. But I spent, as a whole, I would say I spent more time deeper than normal last year. And that was just, the pattern that I found that kind of consistently worked for me. Yes, some days were better than others, but it wasn't as volatile as that shallow water bite, where one day it would be really good and the next day there wouldn't be a single fish there. So I just found those, those mid-depth fish were much more consistent and didn't get pushed in and out off those shallow structures and in the weeds as bad as the deeper fish were kind of always there. Or there was always enough there to fish and make it productive anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that water was a little more stable for them, and they kind of felt comfortable staying there, probably sort of thing.
That too, and like last year, I noticed like a lot of our walleyes, and I think this was the main leading factor to it. A lot of our walleyes moved out onto the shallow rocks really, really early, and they never left. And and that's another little factor too, is like we always say, muskies are where the feed's going to be, and the walleyes are no different. Is in the last, oh, well, it started about 10 years ago, but really in the last 4 or 5 years, the rusty crawdads have really became a player in all these fish's diet. Because we never had them in Eagle like you guys did. Lake of the Woods is probably one of the first lakes around here to get them. And I'm really noticing that these walleyes and bass, even the smaller pike when you keep them and clean them, everything in their gut is rusties. So you're getting these fish that are changing their habits, right? Like these walleyes moved out on these shallow rocks because that's where the rusties were, and it was, easy feed for them. And ultimately, that's where the muskies are going to follow too, right? And that was one thing that I've been really keen on is. Always, you find the big masses of walleyes and you're going to find the muskies. And like I said, last year, those walleyes moved out early and they stayed there all through the summer. And even into late summer, when a lot of those walleyes would go really deep, 30, 40 feet, in that middle of August, end of August, beginning of September timeframe, there was still good groups and good numbers of walleyes up in that 10 to 18 foot spot, just hammering on those rusties. And that was, once again, that was just a little thing that I kind of keyed in on. And you don't really think of it, that how a crawdad can change the whole season, and what these fish do. But I was kind of, after all my pondering and thinking of all this, that was kind of what I came to the conclusion of.
I think that, I mean, I'm convinced that even the muskies, some muskies will be eating crusty or rusties off the rocks too. I've just seen
Eating
some
the
the crusties, yeah, the crusty rusties.
crusties.
I've seen muskies do some weird stuff on shallow rocks that
Well,
I.
they did a study in Minnesota on muskies, and the rusties were actually one of their main diets. Like when they pumped their stomachs, they all had rusties in them.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
why wouldn't you? Crawling on the bottom is the easy meal.
oh, and they literally cover the bottom of the lake. I mean, there's not much structure that doesn't have ruskies, if there's any. I mean, it's just like, yeah, they are a massive food source. And I know I've heard other guys talk about it and stuff, but this last summer was the first time I had ever seen where I had a guy that was snagged with a bucktail, and he was trying to get it off for a bit, couldn't get it. I took the rod and kind of brought the boat around the rock, and I could see the bucktail flashing under the surface as I was trying to get it off. And I or actually I could see what I thought was the bucktail flashing under the surface as I was popping the rod. And Finally, the bucktail pops loose and it's like 2 feet or a foot to the right of this flashing that I was seeing on the, and what I was seeing was a muskie that was like had to have been nose down pretty much on this bucktail as I was trying to get it off the rocks. And the moment that that bucktail started moving, that fish was like 1 inch behind it. I ended up getting it to bite at the boat and then lost it. But like, I mean, the way that it was like just zeroed in on that lure laying on the rocks, you'd almost have to think that they must be oh, they must be eating something on the, you know, right off the rocks. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. Like, the bottom must just be crawling with them down there because, like, you throw a jig and a minnow and you leave it lay on the bottom and you pull it up and there's a crawdad stuck to the jig. Like, there must be thousands of them down there.
Billions, I bet. I bet it's billions. It's nuts. But are you not able to hear me very well?
I can kind of hear you now. Are you running around?
Well, not really. I mean, I moved my phone, but I don't know. I think my phone is,
Go back to the corner of your house where you have service, Joe.
this is where I'm in the same spot I've been the whole time.
Oh.
Well,
But
yeah.
no, I mean, that was one thing, like I said, fishing a little bit deeper and focusing on more of on a rock bite than a weed bite. Not to say that there aren't fish in the weeds at times, because there are. But that would, like I said, that would probably be my biggest thing that I noticed last year. And one thing too is, like we're talking trends and all that. Like what other baits, besides, throwing singles and stuff like that, did you see, that was a little bit more productive than, than in the past years, or, your general go-to baits?
Like swim baits, I guess, like the big paddle tail stuff, swimming dogs and stuff like that. Like the I've started using those a lot more over the last few years, and this year I had a lot of good luck on them. But also I guess dive and rise is always kind of part of the arsenal, but this year I guess I probably had a dive and rise lure going more often than not. And I think that's maybe even just a little bit like I had kind of just slowly not used them as much the previous few seasons, and I realized this season that that's something I had been missing out on or something. I guess I just, you know how you go through your little phases or like what you think is working and 1 year to the next and stuff like that. And but for I guess the most different lure for me probably would have been swim baits. I threw a lot more swim baits this past season, and I find that they have a good hookup percentage when fish go for them. Usually they get, you don't lose many fish on swim baits, I don't think, and they're easy to throw, and it's like, I guess the one thing about them is it's kind of like either the fish are biting them or they're not. You get some good follows, that fish that'll show themselves behind the bait, but the ones that show themselves are usually really hot. That's one thing about them. You don't get a lot of those kind of wishy-washy lookers coming in late and stuff like that, like you might on a dive and rise or a crankbait. But
Yeah.
those.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say, on my side of things, I did have I threw probably a lot more gliders this year than I generally ever had. I had a lot of really good luck on glide baits. And then one other thing that I threw a lot of was just, I kind of went, a little bit more old school and through some tubes where I did, I stuck with the tubes, but did a little, just some subtle modifications on them with, different types of blades and stuff like that. And, like to kind of go down the rabbit hole, a little bit, all these baits that have been proven producers throughout the years are gonna always remain proven producers. And that, I mean, the reason why they're so good is, fish bite them. And, just doing, little subtle changes to them, making yourself stand out just a little bit different than the rest of the crowd can incorporate, some more bites. Another thing I did this year is, Savage actually makes a leader with a blade attached. It's like on the leader. It's called a teaser trace. And that, I threw those a lot and I got I mean, mind you, whether I caught the fish because of it or not, I don't know. But I gained a lot of confidence in them really quick. Once again, just a subtle little difference, throwing a little bit more different vibe in the water for the fish to get a little different feel, and it added a little bit more flash on some baits. It was really cool throwing it behind like ahead of a jerk bait and stuff like that. It made it look like, the jerk bait was chasing a minnow or something like that. And those, I really did end up, pretty much all my rods had those on them last year by the end of the season. That little willow leaf, midway on that leader, I feel like made a big difference on some days. But yeah, it's overall, I mean, it wasn't for me, it wasn't so much hot baits, like everything, the old tried and true worked, other than I like the singles really stood out last year for me. But it was more spending the time and really dialing in the pattern and finding, a specific pattern that you wanted to run and really dial it in and get the right baits and get the guys working the baits at the right depth. That was what I would say was, the leading factor to, multiple fish days versus running around like a chicken with my head cut off and fishing weeds and fishing rocks, fishing weeds, fishing rocks, bouncing around, and you could never really get the guys dialed in on one bait to work it properly and get dialed in, especially at the boat. Because like we talked about before, there's, little nuances with every bait that can turn a following fish into a biting fish. And that would be one pointer too is, musky guys get all hung up on bait. And they got, and I get it, you spent the money on them, you bought, 10 new musky baits for this season. I'm gonna throw them all every day. So they throw one for 10 casts, don't get a follow. They pick up a new one, throw a new one for 10 casts, don't get a follow. And more times than not, it's not the bait. It's just there's no fish there or the fish isn't active to chase. So, when you do pick up a bait and you get, a follow on it, spend the time and learn how to work that bait properly. And really get dialed in with that bait and almost become one with that bait, especially at the boat. You know what I mean? Would you not agree?
Oh yeah, totally. No, it's I'm not a big guy for changing lures around. Most of the time I hand somebody a rod with a lure on it and they're going to be throwing that same thing at the end of the day. If I can tell that, they're really getting itchy to ch try something else. But I typically have a pretty good idea of what we're going to be doing, and it's such a good feeling when you know exactly the type of structure, when a pattern sticks around long enough, you know exactly the type of structure you're looking for and exactly the way you need to throw the lure. And it's, I think the only way to get that is to just stick with something for a day, at least, and just kind of keep working it. Obviously, there's times when you can tell that something else is definitely working better and you need to change. But I think a lot of times it's just, figuring out what you need to do differently with the bait to get those fish to engage on it. It's like the
I mean, look at like Bill Sandy at the angle. I mean, I remember back in the day, when I was bullshitting with him, he would literally clip on a black and silver double 10 and not throw it till the tinsel was gone off it. You know what I mean? Like it's not necessarily, there are, don't get me wrong, there are times when it is the bait. It's when the bait really plays a factor is when the conditions are tough. Then they start getting real picky on baits and how you work them. But more times than not, it's, just pick a bait and learn how to work it properly and getting it in front of the fish. Taking the time when you pull the bait out of the water and you're going, say you're going along a spot, instead of just blindly casting, and hoping for the best. Look for a projection, one boulder sticking out off the shore or an indent on the shore, or say you're coming up to the point, and you're making sure that you're casting, hitting that point very effectively, especially, I see it a lot of times too. I don't know if you do or not. The guy in the bow of the boat almost ends up spending most of his time casting off structure because he's trying to stay ahead of the boat or stay ahead of his buddy behind him. And he's not hitting all the, the juice and the second bait through just the way the boat is and the angle of his cast. He's getting all the follows and all the action because he's hitting, the spot time after time after time after time after time again. And the guy in the bow of the boat is just, aimlessly casting and, he's probably only on the juice 50% of the time.
Yeah, he's just running through the motions, and another good thing that tells you that it's not just the lure too is like, one guy's getting all the action, so then the other guy puts on the exact same thing and still can't get anything to happen. And that's when you gotta start to pick apart, what you're doing with the lure more so. And more often than not, I'd say it's probably the speed that you're going, whether it's faster or slower, it depends. But it's you got to like really key in on that type of thing that this the however fast you're going or whatever it might be is the difference. It's not just the lure, but it's when you learn what the fish how the fish like it, and you have the once you get dialed on that, and it's hard actually sometimes for another guy to do it the same way just because, somebody has figured out what works for them. And, but you, like I said, usually it's speed, I think. The speed thing.
But no, it, I mean, I hope, everything we've kind of gone over, it kind of gets everybody thinking musky talk, musky season, kind of gets everybody their head wrapped around for, the upcoming season and, some little subtle changes, to try when you're up here and stuff like that. I mean, I'm sure, like I said, Joe, we haven't talked in a while. We could talk all day here, but before I know it, my day is rapidly going to get away from me, and I still got a pile of junk to do.
The days are still short, man, but they are getting longer.
What's that?
The days are still short, but they are getting longer.
Yeah, I, Joe, I can't hear you right now.
Really?
I don't know where you're at.
Oh, I don't know. Hopefully,
But,
it's picking me up, I guess. I don't know. I'm right on my phone here.
yeah, but no, we'll reconvene our talk here, I'm sure we'll get together. We're actually talking before we, like once again, before we record it, we're going to get together and hopefully get out on the ice before we both get really busy with our ice season here. It'd be good to get out and do a little fishing, but, I'm going to get rolling now for today, Joe, and we'll think of something else to talk about and get together here and probably another couple weeks or something like that. That sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds good to me, man.
All right, Joe. Well, you have a good day. It was good talking to you.
Hey, we'll check you later, Danny.
Yep, bye.